Welcome. You're listening to the Leadership Intensive Training Podcast. Every week, we'll equip you with all the tools you'll need to become a strong leader within your campus ministry. We look forward to seeing you grow and making disciples here at Yale.
Chi Alpha is core groups. If Chi Alpha could do only one thing next year, and that one thing determined the survival of our fellowship, I would choose core groups. It's where we practice vulnerability, confession, selflessness, forgiveness, and the wrestling of the soul. It's the primary place where you are challenged on real responsibility, real devotion, and real community. The Bible is where you study what real community looks like, but core groups, that's where you experience it. Your core group is the most dynamic part of your faith because it's where true transformation happens. Jesus' ministry was core groups. One of the better pictures we have of community in the early church comes from very early on in the Acts narrative, Acts chapter 2. Let's take a look at the core group that Jesus built, what happened to the core group that he built after he left, and what was the fruit. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to verse 47 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Want me to tell you why we do core groups? Because Jesus did core groups. His life was a constant core group in the way that we're going to talk about and you experienced this past year at Yale. It's about way more than seeing each other once a week. The disciples were seeing each other every day and purposefully seeing each other. They wanted to be around each other. They were doing life together. Everywhere they went, there they were. There they were. They were in it together. Band of brothers, squad deep, whatever. This is what changed them. This is how the dynamic small group took off, because it was a way of life. It was how they lived together. They were always seeing each other. They didn't just gather once a week to watch a TV show. They were involved in life together all the time. This was bigger than anything they had ever been a part of, and it was the plan to reach the world. We can teach a lot of things, and people attend a lot of lectures, but core group is powerful when we gather all the time, when we travel in herds, when we're in it to win it all the time. The Jesus we read of in Scripture had dynamic relationships with his disciples because his suffering was their suffering. When the scribe came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verse 19 to 20, with the intent to follow him, he responded by saying, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." His desire wasn't to turn the scribe away. He did want the scribe to follow him. What he didn't want was someone to just follow him and yet never enter into a deep relationship with him. This deep relationship meant you not only took part in the good, but also in the bad. Jesus' core group was dynamic because they took part in every aspect of each other's lives. They loved one another because they suffered together. They ate together. They went wherever the other went. And Jesus did more through this than he could ever do with a parable. So first, we're going to talk about the characteristics and the indicators of a dynamic core group, and then specify how that happens through the stages of core groups. As core group leaders, we should be passionate about encouraging deep relationships. Deep relationships last, but more importantly, deep relationships allow the gospel to penetrate and shape the heart. If at the end of the year you have studied an entire book of the Bible but have yet to truly know your brother or sister, in my opinion, the entire year was a waste. Let me make two bold statements. If you've never been able to tell your biggest, deepest, darkest secrets to the people in your core group, you've never experienced real community. If you've never been able to call out someone else's sin or vice versa, you've never experienced real community. Okay, maybe these statements are too bold, but I'm trying to make a point here. This is where we should be headed with our core groups. Every week we gather on campus for core groups. Our hope and desire should be to create a place where life change happens and life change can't happen, where people are afraid to be exposed. Core group is where we learn to trust and experience grace and truth. Core group centric ministry was a model that Jesus had because it's the one that works now, and it's the best way to be in a life-changing dynamic community of the Spirit. College will tell you to go as wide as possible, try and make as many connections that you could eventually call upon later in your life, and end up with a whole bunch of acquaintances and no close friends. Meet people that you can use later, but don't meet people in such a way that you could be made better by them. Jesus didn't try and meet as many people as possible in order to make some connections that he could remember at an alumni event. Instead, he went deep with the few that traveled with him, imparting deep things into the people that were going to carry it along. By what I've said, we can all come to a conclusion of what makes a core group dynamic. So I'll list these right now. Core groups eat together constantly. Core groups hang out with each other constantly. Core groups carry each other's burdens and take part in their suffering. Core groups don't miss each other because they are always with each other. The gospel takes shape within the relationships everyone has with each other. So, a year's a long time. What's supposed to happen in your core group over the course of the year? What's possible? What's your goal? There are three things that we identify as stages of core groups, aligning with our convictions of devotion, community, and responsibility. While there's a general sense of progression, these stages are never complete and they can occur simultaneously. So let's start with the first stage of core group. The first stage of a dynamic core group is connecting. During this stage, we seek out people to bring into our community through core groups. This is where it all begins. This is where it all began with the ministry of Jesus' disciples. Each of them was sought out. Two were found on the boat when Jesus called them and met them at the shoreline. One was found up in a tree when asked to come down. Another was found at the synagogue, weary and worn. This is the ministry that Jesus calls everyone to. We are called to connect. We're called to stand in the gap and be a bridge to see them meet Jesus. It's important, though, that the people who join your core group do not become your project. They must be your passion. This stage is not a task. During this stage, we reach the campus with the force of the gospel as we fight for God's children. We are an army putting on our boots as we raise the flag for the name of Jesus. You have an opportunity to bring people into a relationship with Jesus. At Yale, you get to pursue someone and love them before they even know who you are. Before many knew who Jesus was, he loved and pursued them. If we strive forward with this, we will hear stories of those who belong before they could believe. People will come to your core group because they wanted community and stay because they found Jesus. Do you know anyone who came into relationship with you before they ever heard about Jesus? Can you tell me why that was? When connecting with other students is your passion, not a task, it will be the difference between people collection versus core group formation. At Yale, we look at Camp Yale and Bulldog Days as those initial moments when we strategically seek out our students and first years. We are intentional about these specific times because we know that the noise of everything hits with intensity once everyone gets to campus. We want to make sure that we can reach each student. Therefore, we are intentional and passionate in how we do it. Think about how you came to Chi Alpha. What event did you go to and what happened that made you join Chi Alpha? How important were those relationships you formed when you joined Core Group? These are questions you should ask yourself throughout the year that get you going in the right direction every week. A dynamic core group is a way of life, not just a way of night. Acts chapter 2, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They were in classes together, they went to church together, ate at dining halls, went to the gym together, they studied together. It's all about way more than seeing each other once a week. The disciples were doing life together. This is what changed them. It was how they lived. So think about this past year. Did your core group hang out a lot outside of core group? Were they developing deeper friendships with each other? As you look back at this past year, look at next year. As you start core group, think about this question. Think about, are people developing deep relationships outside of core group? What are we doing as a core group to provide opportunities for relationships to grow throughout the week? So here are a few practical examples of how you can connect with new people. During Camp Yale, take down people's numbers and text them within the next 24 hours, just saying how good it was to meet them. Tell them how glad you are that they're considering Chi Alpha as a community they can be a part of. Another one you can do is spontaneous moment that you can invite people to. So this would be you and your co-leader deciding we're going to be on campus once a day during these first couple of weeks. We're just going to be throwing around the football, or we're going to be hanging out in this specific courtyard, or we're going to go play basketball. And we're going to invite new people to those moments so that they can feel welcomed and so that we can have an opportunity to meet them. Me and Christian, we would do this all the time because it just allowed us to invite people to those moments. But also, we didn't have to talk the entire time. While we were playing basketball or while we were playing football, we would ask them questions. But this was such a good bonding moment that allowed people to see who we were and to experience genuine moments of friendship and genuine moments of just fun. The next stage of dynamic core groups after connecting is grow, and this aligns with real devotion. I believe that although our relationships with each other are strengthened by community, they are defined by our devotion to Jesus. What this means is that a dynamic core group is all about Jesus. As a core group, we dive deep into pursuing Jesus as a community. We challenge each other to seek a greater knowledge and experience of Jesus. Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. If you're not purposefully pursuing Jesus, what sets you apart from every other group at Yale? In a dynamic core group, it is all about Jesus. He's the one that has changed our lives and will always be the one that changes lives. The most beautiful thing about Christian community is a common thing between us all is our love for Jesus. Although we may all like different things, have different majors, or come from different backgrounds, our love for Jesus and Scripture is what defines our relationships. During the semester, we as Chi Alpha do multiple things to encourage and promote this within your core group. every TNL, we give out a bunch of journals with the book of the Bible we're studying in our sermon series. This is a great opportunity to get your core group involved in studying this book together. Another thing that we do is during the winter break, we release a devotional just to encourage you to continue to have a devotional life throughout that break. And this is a great opportunity for you to get your core group involved and go through that entire devotional together. This can be done as a group through your winter break, and it can very well jumpstart someone's devotional life who has never had one in your core group. Think about other ways you could encourage and challenge your core group to read more scripture. In a dynamic core group, Jesus reveals himself. Acts chapter 2 again says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Jesus revealed himself. We should expect Jesus to show up in our core groups. Is Christ's passion and character growing in each of their lives? Christ's passion deals with the desires of a member of your core group, while the character deals with their actions. This is a really good question to be asking as you see members of your core group growing in having a devotional time and reading scripture and going deep into scripture. Another great question is, are the members of your core group spending time communing with God through reading scripture and prayer? These are all things that as core group leaders, we're watching that our core group members are doing, because that is what we're there to do, is to walk with them through that, to have strong devotional lives, and that they are growing as men and women of character and action. So here are a few practical examples of how you can grow with your core group. At the beginning of the semester, have a one thing group. This is a group me where your core group tells each other something God taught them in their devotional time that morning or that day. Another thing you can do is during the semester, choose a book of the Bible or a spiritual book you as a group go throughout the year outside of core group. Your core group can share in the group me how it's going and keep each other accountable. And that's an awesome way to just see the members of your core group develop thriving devotional lives. Another thing that is helpful is to go through a 30-day challenge and see how many days in a row everyone can maintain their devotional time. And this should be good, because this should be a moment where you guys are encouraging each other. And let's say someone misses a day, you're able to just cheer them on to continue to develop a consistent devotional life. Okay, so we've talked about connecting. We've talked about growing. Now we are at reaching. So this is the stage that aligns with our core conviction of real responsibility. This stage may be the last one, but it's equally as powerful and transformational as the rest. The reach stage is the stage where your core group becomes evangelistic. What they have experienced in your core group now charges them to reach out to their friends and be invitational. People in your core group are excited to invite someone to hang out in your community, as they are charged with the responsibility of reaching someone else with the gospel. The disciples, after hearing Jesus speak and command them in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, they went and they made disciples. Last week, you all discussed what relational evangelism looks like. You learned the Oikos map and who are the people that you can easily reach with the gospel. Now that you've learned this, it's important that your core group has vision for this also. Your core group should be invitational, but it should also be inclusive. Core groups should be the end of loneliness for all involved. This is about that. How can this transform your view of Chi Alpha and core groups and people on the fringe? Jesus said that the world will know us by our love for one another. It's easy to love people that look like you or are like you, but we must be different. We have to be different. I want your core group to have people that don't look like you. Heaven should not be the first time you are in a Christian community with someone of a different race. A dynamic core group is also magnetic. People should be excited to not only come to core group, but also they should be excited about inviting someone to core group, inviting someone to go and play basketball, inviting someone to go and play board games, inviting someone to go and get ice cream. When new people experience your core group environment, they should feel welcomed and seen. They should be treated like the big deal that they are. Acts 2 says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Awesome. People were being saved left and right because this community was welcoming. But overall, everyone was treated like a big deal. Everyone was equal. The rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated sat at the same table. Can each core group member tell you a person that they are purposefully seeking to influence toward Christ? What's the core group doing to partner with them in reaching out? Are we an audience or are we an army? Here are a few examples of how you can begin to shape a culture where people in your core group are invitational. During one of your core groups, give everyone a sheet of paper and ask them to write down 5 of their friends at Yale who they want to come to know the Lord. Challenge them to pray for those 5 people every day. What this will do is create a burden in their hearts and nurture a missional mindset. Okay, so here are a few tips for the actual night. All of these stages should influence what you're doing every single week as you plan core group. When it comes to planning a core group and the actual core group time, here are my tips. Set a time every single week where you and your core group can plan core group. This is so important. I always wanted to have that time to talk with my co-leader and plan what exactly we were doing that week or what exactly we would be doing over the next couple of weeks. And that just allowed us to think intentionally about where our core group was and when we were where we were headed. Another tip is go ahead and prepare and write down what core group is going to look like every single week. So I know the framework for most core groups. So most core groups either have dinner beforehand or they go straight into core group and it's highs and lows, it's a Bible study, it's prayer. And those are the things that remain consistent throughout all core groups. Obviously, this can change and shift depending on what core group you're a part of. But these are the things that should be happening consistently every single time that you meet. Now, another thing that I would suggest you do is that you break up the semester. So you want to break up the monotony of every single week having like this Bible study during that specific time and making sure to go do something together. So you go get ice cream. You say, hey, tonight, actually, we're just going to get together and we're going to watch a movie. Or you say, hey, tonight, we're just going to play video games or a board game. And we're going to get together and we're just going to be in each other's presence. And that can be a great way to propel your core group forward to also wanting to hang out outside of those moments. Another tip is that it's never too early to get core group members involved in certain parts of your core group. So it's never early to ask someone to lead the concluding prayer. Just as long as you ask them beforehand and let them know what's happening, I am sure that they will be excited about being a part of this moment. And it's just a great way to begin to get someone comfortable with also being able to lead a core group next year. So those are my tips for the actual night of core group. Now, again, it's important that everything that I've been talking about during this podcast is considered almost on a weekly basis. You're considering where your core group is and where you're headed through the lens of these three stages. So, wow. So this is the end of the podcast. I'm so excited to get together with you guys this week and be able to talk more about core groups and dynamic core groups. So I'll see you guys on Thursday and Friday. And I'm so excited to also just be able to hear your questions.
You've been listening to the Leadership Intensive Podcast. We'll see you next week.